Welcome to The Scrub Life, a podcast for and about the incredible profession of surgical technology. I'm Chris Blevins, and our mission at The Scrub Life is to educate the public about surgical technology. Each episode dives into the wonderful world of surgery, where we inform and hopefully entertain our listeners while interviewing amazing individuals within the field and presenting the hot topics everyone wants to know more about. Certified surgical technologists are an integral part of the sterile team that cares for patients in the operating room. Learn more about this exciting field, the immense effort that goes into educating future CSTs, and how you too can become a ninja of the OR. Now, without further ado, here's the latest episode of The Scrub Life. So first, I want to say thank you to our amazing guests tonight that I get to hang out with on a Friday evening, which just makes my heart happy. So this particular episode, we are going to talk about the brand new changes that are that have come to fruition and will be implemented by January 2024 fully, and that's our core curriculum. And so my guests tonight are Libby McRae and Janice Grewatz. And they were an essential part of this committee. And so I am really excited to pick their brain about what in the world that even looked like and how you even began such a crazy undertaking. So I want you to introduce yourselves to the people that get to hear you tonight. So Libby, we'll start with you. Tell us a little bit about who you are and where you work.
Sure. Hi, everyone. I'm Libby McRae. I'm from the middle of Washington State. I'm a program director for surgical technology at Yakima Valley College. It's a little rural community. We actually are known most for exporting hops, but yes.
That's a large, very important export.
Export. Mm-hmm. So, also, I am currently doing a few other things in the world of surgical technology. Currently serving on the board of the National Board for Surgical Technology and Surgical Assisting. This is my second year doing that, and I love it so far. Just learning about the profession from a different way has been really exciting for me.
Yeah. That is really cool. And you've also served right before I got on the Education and Professional Standards Committee for AST and did a heck of a job there.
Yes, I would say that's the love of my life.
Agreed.
That committee. Having served on that committee for 6 years, it just really helped shape me professionally, I feel like. And was such a tight family, and I learned so much. And it was on that committee that I was on that committee when we started the National Core Curriculum Revision. And so that's one of the reasons I got to be so lucky to be on the panel.
That's really awesome. Well, thank you for being here with me. Full disclosure, Libby is someone I consider to be a very good friend, not just colleague. So really cool that we get to do this tonight. And Janice, I am super excited that you are here as well. Will you please tell everybody a little bit about you?
Sure. It's great to be here, Chris. Thanks for having us. I'm so excited to share all of our insights about the core curriculum. So I'm Janice Grewatz. I am the program director at Parkland College in Champaign, Illinois. Been in education for about 12 years, and that was quite the transition, as everybody has that's an educator completely understands.
Absolutely.
And in my world of contributing to the profession, I'm the current president of the Accreditation Review Council in Surgical Technology and Surgical Assisting. Was a previous board of director for the ARC and was lucky enough to be on this panel with Libby, serving as on the core curriculum. That was one of the most, probably one of the most exciting experiences in my career, was being able to contribute to that.
That's really great. Oh, so we are all over the time zone planes, if you will. So yeah, it's 5 o'clock somewhere though, right? So that'll work. Well, so this particular committee had people from the NB, ARC, AST. Gosh, it really was well represented. And I believe there were there 12 of you on the committee, you guys, total?
There were 11.
11?
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, our wonderful staff liaisons, yes. Wanda Folsom with AST, and periodically Kevin Fry would pop in and give his expertise as
of
well.
Of course, yes. And I love that. I want to say, at least mention just a couple of the other members that I know that were on there, because gosh, you guys were, it was a group effort, I would imagine. And Libby, you chaired it, but there was also Rob Blackston, Keith, Janice, you were on there. There was one rep from the NBSTSA, Sharon from Nebraska, Angie, gosh, 5 people from ARC, and then and 6 people, including Logan Threet, and then 6 people were off of the Ed Committee, right? So I just think what a cool group of brains and experiences to be able to tackle the core curriculum. And so for, I guess, people out there that don't understand what the core curriculum and all these terms are that we use, I just kind of want to maybe go back a few steps so that they can understand. So as certified surgical technologists, we are governed by the Association of Surgical Technologists, ASD. But for our educational and our accredited programs, you know, we throughout, and there are over, 400 of them across the country. We are accredited by the ARC, which is the Accreditation Review Council for Surgical Technology and Surgical Assisting. And we've mentioned certified quite often, and that's an exam that we take to have a national certification. And that exam is controlled by the National Board of Surgical Technology and Surgical Assisting, that we lovingly refer to as the NB. So there's kind of just a little summary for maybe people who don't understand our alphabet soup about the kind of the terms that we use. But just like at our hospitals, and I think any industry that has certain standards that must be met, maintained, and then of course everybody has to have revisions. I would think especially true in medicine, because just the genre of medicine is constantly changing. In the good old days, we used to just cut everybody open, right? Stem to stern and take a look. And now we have all of this technology. Robotics are a daily thing in many hospitals. And so we have to continually check ourselves, if you will, and make sure that we're practicing at the highest level, so that we can give our patients the highest level of care, right? And so I think anybody who's worked in a hospital knows what JCO is, the Joint Commission, and how they have regular visits. Those of us who are in education and surgical technology, we are totally used to having regular visits from ARC to maintain our accreditation. That's an undertaking. So in timely fashion, just like JCO and our site visits, our standards and guidelines that are given to us by KHEP and our core curriculum that is I guess AST's over that fully, I guess the top of the umbrella, but they are also looked at on a periodic basis. And so I believe the last revision of the core curriculum was done in 2014. So you all started this revision, I believe the first meeting was February of 2019, right? Yeah, so what does that first meeting look like when all of you get together in this committee and you're kind of, are you given your goal? What came up, how did that look like, I guess, that first committee meeting? Were you a little overwhelmed? I would have been.
Okay, if I start?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Well, gosh, I was told that the chair of the Ed Committee is typically the person to chair the panel for the core curriculum revision. And so I was both excited and a bit daunted by that prospect, because I felt like there are probably so many people out there with more knowledge than I have. And then I remembered that it's a whole panel, and that's exciting because we all got to put our brains together. And so I went into that really not knowing what to expect, having not been on a core curriculum panel at all before.
Yeah.
But also pretty excited about the project management piece of it, because I feel like that's something that I enjoy.
Yeah.
And so as the chair of the panel, it was really, for me, it was really more about the managing the project. And that was exciting because I knew that all the people on the panel were just full of knowledge and expertise, and we would be able to use them. And there were 5 people from the Ed Committee on, including myself, 5 from the ARC, and then Angie representing the NB.
Awesome.
So the interesting thing about all that was that AST started preparing for this years prior, and together with ARC, they held an educator summit in fall of 2018, and it was a time for educators of all levels, brand new educators and experienced educators, there were about 100 of them, got together in Denver and really started talking together in small groups and in big groups about what does the future of surgical technology look like? What's important? What do we want to emphasize in our profession? And so we were able to take the highlights and minutes from that summit, as well as the job task analysis from the NB, and take those things, and it really did help direct our progress with the core.
That's awesome.
So we kind of started it like any other project. We started it by introducing ourselves to each other and creating a vision for our project, writing some goals that we wanted to accomplish, and really talking. We spent really the first half of the day talking about what is the purpose of the core curriculum, so that we made sure that we remembered that and had that in focus. And then we were able to dive into content. So
yeah.
I'll stop talking for a second and let Janice pop in.
Yeah, no, what did that look like for you?
As Libby said, it was, you know, at the beginning, you think, oh my gosh, this is a complete overhaul, because that's really what we did. There was not one part of that core curriculum that we left untouched. So it was exciting, but then, you know, we broke it up into smaller pieces, so we didn't feel like we had to take the whole pie and do it all at the same time. So, and then of course, COVID decided to show up, which could have put a wrinkle in a lot of things, and it kind of, you know, slowed our progress a bit, but we may have managed to make it through. And I'm very proud of the project that we are, the product that we actually completed. And I hope that educators, we really took into account those new educators, because there is so many new educators and new program directors, and we really wanted to give them guidance on setting up their courses and how the curriculum and sequencing things so that it made sense to them. I'm really trying to help them out. Would you agree, Libby?
I certainly would. I think that was one of the things that we kept foremost in our minds, was that this should be a framework that the brand new educator can use to develop their curriculum. And just in the way that we reorganized the core and the table of contents into those sections, just like we would our surgical tech program, into didactic, followed by lab, followed by clinical. And I think that the way that we focused on clarifying objectives also into those different categories, educators can take a look at the beginning of each section and see the objectives that are listed in didactic. And then there are also, if there are appropriate lab objectives for that section, they're identified as such and are written in such a way that they can be easily integrated into a program.
I think at the same time, there were other changes. Like I know that NB has been working on the certifying exam. You know, the standards and guidelines had just been updated. Were there conversations between all of those different entities to be able to, I don't know, make sure that you're on the same page as much as you could be? Or was there any insight about, you know, those different projects going on too?
There absolutely was. And I think that was one of the reasons why we wanted to make sure that each entity was well represented on the panel. And that we had copies of the job task analysis from the NB with us. We had copies of the information from the summit. We had notes from past panel members that we were able to take into account. And it was really an exciting collaborative effort. It was really, really neat to see how well we worked together and how we grew as a group, not just for the core, but also personally and professionally. I think it was a really neat thing to see.
So you guys mentioned that job task analysis. Is there anything, I know it's a while, like I realize you're having to dig back in there a little bit. Sorry about that. But is there anything that you still remember that stood out to you that was, I don't know, surprising or memorable, I guess, if you will?
I think some of it with the job task analysis, you know, we had to keep that in our forefront, but we also had to remember that the core is introductory and entry level. So we couldn't take it, you know, all of that job task analysis and apply, because that a lot of that came from practicing CSTs who may have been in the field for longer. So we kind of had to merge the entry level with the job task analysis to making sure we're still at that entry level what the core curriculum was intended to be.
I think entry level, sorry, yeah, no, please, Libby, go ahead.
Yeah, that's a great point, Janice. And I think that in our discussions, you know, naturally as a group of passionate educators and people, we got together and we would occasionally get so into our discussions that we had to, every now and then, we had to take that step back and say, okay, remember, we've got to keep in mind entry level, we've got to keep in mind national and not regional. This is a national core curriculum, and we can't drill down into what Joe is doing over in Alabama in this way. We had to make sure that it was a national approach. And I think having so many different people from all over really, really helped with that. And we really tried to keep every single program and every single student in our minds.
Do you think that the definition of what an entry-level tech is has changed since, you know, you and I started? I just feel like as an educator that what an entry-level surge tech is supposed to do, I think is way different than what I started out doing. I think, to be completely honest, 20 years ago when I first started scrubbing, like, I would have sucked compared to what, you know, we have to do. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Just not specifically me sucking, but.
There was no way we could even talk about that because. I think that it has changed, and I think that's the reason we need frequent core curriculum revisions.
Yeah. Absolutely. What about you, Janice?
Oh, I would completely agree. I mean, you're 20, I'm almost 30 years ago when we would do total joints, you know, with one tray of instruments, and now we have 10 trays of instruments that, you know, everything has completely changed, and the knowledge that we need to have has increased. And I think that, as Libby said, that's one of the reasons why we need to stay up to date with the core curriculum and evolve with where the profession's going. We need to make sure that the core curriculum evolves with it.
Yeah. Well, I also had a question about you guys mentioned regional and how, we come at this profession differently depending on the hospital experience and things that we had as well. And were there big, points that you came out from or memories that you had about those differences, and how did you come to is it a compromise ultimately, or how did you take my experience versus his experience and then make it into this national focus?
That's okay. I think that one of the things that helped was that whenever we got together, we took an opportunity to discuss our vision and our goals and remember who we represent. And I think, the teams, so we took different sections of the core, broke them up into bite-sized pieces, like Janice mentioned, and then teams, one or two, sometimes three people, would take that on as an assignment. Mm-hmm. And work on the revision and present it to the group as a whole. And that's kind of the process. Each section was reviewed by the entire panel and voted on for approval before it was included. And I think that if there was ever a question about, is this a regional thing or what are you guys doing? We would not just discuss it, but we would research it. Mm-hmm. Each team did absolute perfect due diligence to research the inclusion or exclusion of certain things from their section.
Awesome. Well, so before we go on a little break, we already kind of mentioned it, but I really wanted to hear about how you all were able to do this as a group all over the place with the pandemic. And you're both educators too. So like at the same time, you're trying to manage your program and the stoppage or whatever was going on with your students, plus this, that's a lot of juggling, y'all. What was that like? Because it was, let's see, 19 is when you started. So throughout the entire hot mess, right? What was that like for you guys?
Janice, I'll let you take that one first, and then I'll jump in.
Well, we were off to a great start, and our last in-person meeting that we had I think we had left less than 2 weeks, and then lockdown happened. So now we were navigating through Zoom, just like we were with our own students, getting used to technology, meeting that way, communicating with those who we were working with on our assignments. And I have to give my hats off to Wanda, because Wanda did an amazing job of keeping us aligned and making sure we had our meeting set up, and Libby too, because she was so integral in setting everything up and making sure we were all on task with our assignments. So I think that COVID, while it was not the most pleasant experience, we still did what we needed to do, and we did it well.
That's awesome.
You definitely did, Janice. The product really does speak for itself. And I think that we'll see programs really, really diving into the core and appreciating the revisions. I think that, our plan was a 2-year project. Did definitely turn into an almost full 3-year project. And I think a lot of it was due to COVID and the way we had to meet. You can't really attend a Zoom meeting for 8 hours straight, like we do some of our in-person meetings. And when we had our in-person meetings, we would meet for 2 days, full days. But you can't really do that with Zoom. And so we met frequently, sometimes every other week. And then, the teams that were working on assignments had to meet and chat and do everything. Email is very, very challenging. to do this type of project. But everybody stayed on task and everybody really made an effort to attend. It was rare that we had people missing Zoom meetings. I'm just amazed at the intense amount of work and also at the dedication and the amount of time that each one of these panel members put into it.
It sounds like everybody understood the importance of it and how much of a difference it's going to make in especially that first term educator, because it's scary transitioning from the OR to a classroom. And I don't think as educators, we get a whole lot of help specifically from the colleges most of the time, I think. So having this community and having such a really great team of experience and people who are willing to say like, I've been there, you're gonna make it. I can't tell you how many of my mentors, you know, are really just a shoulder sometimes what you really need. So I can't wait to dive into exactly, you know, I'd love to look at the course, the crosswalk and see what really did change and especially the layout and how we as just everyday educators can use it to the best of our ability. So with that, we'll be right back. We're going to take a minute and rest a voice, and then we'll come back for the second half of the podcast. And of course, now that we're recording, I have to cough. I'm so sorry. So professional. Good grief. Oh, well, okay. Thank you guys. We're back and refreshed. But so we got a little bit about the background of how the committee was made up and, you know, the effect of the pandemic and how you all were able to meet and really accomplish this task over almost 3 years. And so I really want to just really get down to the 7th edition of the core curriculum. On ARC's website, and just for anybody who wants to see, it's arcstsa.org. But there, and let me make sure I'm getting you to the correct area. If you go to accreditation, the second tab down is standards and curricula. And that's where you can find not just the 6th edition of the core curriculum, but the standards and guidelines and just a lot of information, and to include the 7th edition of the core curriculum for surgical technology. And then along with that, there is a document that I just love. I'm so grateful that you guys made it because it really breaks down all of the work, or summarizes is a better term, the work that y'all did. And that's that AST crosswalk document. So will you guys talk to us a little bit about what the differences are between the 6th and 7th edition? Broadly, I guess. I would hate for you to have to go through it line item by line.
Yeah, there was a lot, as I said earlier, you know, there was basically no section in the core that we didn't touch. So you will see small revisions, maybe in certain sections, you will see even some new added sections of interventional radiology, management and leadership. And those topics really came out of the education summit that Libby mentioned earlier that we did in 2018 and where the profession, you know, surgical technologists have those advancement or different opportunities. And so that we wanted to make sure we included that in the core curriculum. Also, one big change is that the lab skills are now a component of the core curriculum. You know, previously there was the document in the back that said recommended. Yeah. Now these are part of the core curriculum. So those are the required skills that every program should be teaching their students. And we kind of laid it out in a way that it went from preoperative to intraoperative to postoperative. So, you know, giving that framework of teaching lab skills.
Absolutely. No, please go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, there's just so much. I don't, you know, there, you, how you include, how we talk about that. There's just so much.
How do we talk about that in half a podcast? Yeah. No, so you guys did go through and it's well highlighted. I just want to commend you on the organization piece. I said earlier, I can totally nerd out on the organization and the process stuff all day. But it's very easy to decipher what was revised, what was deleted, and then of course any new additions very clearly. And so the things that you all decided to delete, I would imagine that was probably a pretty big discussion, right? Like seems a bit permanent. How did I guess what was the determining factor in saying this is obsolete or not necessary?
Well, if I may, I offer up informational technology as an example. How we interface with computers in the OR has really changed.
Yeah.
And I think that I think it was an easy move to eliminate, you know, the modem and the, you know, the mouse and the at symbol and, you know, those very basic things that our children know.
Way better than we do, I think, sometimes. I think my students could have taught them.
Something that's really appropriate for information technology in the OR. You know, how does the surgical technologist interact with information technology in the OR, and what does that look like, and made it a lot more relevant. So that's just one example. I don't think any of us, if there was something that was really like a difficult, should we not? I think then that lent itself to, you know what, if it's that difficult of a struggle to maybe get rid of it, then it probably shouldn't go. And Janice is right. We touched everything. We actually stuck a stick of dynamite in the core and blew it up. And and not just for the sake of doing it. You know, that's, none of us has time for that. But we really felt that we wanted to look very closely at every single thing, make sure that it's entry level, make sure that it fits the now and where we're going as a profession, as well as make sure that it fits the framework. And so some of my favorite sections actually, you know, and this is really weird because you talk about being a nerd about process, the table of contents was my favorite part.
Really? I get that. Yeah.
Is that so freaky?
No, but it's beautiful. Super necessary.
And you know what? It took us a whole day to hash out the table of contents before we even dove into any content itself. And so that was really a lot of fun for me. And just for example, perioperative case management, that section of the core is my favorite because it flows just like the OR does, or just like we teach it. And why shouldn't our core curriculum flow in exactly, why shouldn't it make sense? Why shouldn't there be a preoperative case management section and an intraoperative? And, you know, I just think that was a logical change. Things like updated supplies. You take a look at the supplies section, which is now its own complete own section. And that section has undergone some big changes. Naturally, our supplies are changing all the time. And so that section is pretty new. I would like to say that we're very proud of the fact that we were able to keep the same clinical case requirements. Nobody on the panel felt that there was a need to either inflate that or remove any, and felt like it adequately represented all the programs across the nation. So we did work on clarifying, and it's kind of fun to think about how we did that just a little into our process, because I know you're a process nerd.
I love it.
What we actually did, and we saved that for last, because of course, that's what everybody's thinking about, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a new core. What did they do to the clinical cases? Mm-hmm. And we're no different. We're we're no different on the panel. We were like, we really wanted to get into that. And, but there's so much to do before then. So as the project manager, I was able to say, you know, we're not even going to look at it. We're not even going to talk about it. And we're saving it for the end. And so
the grand finale.
So we got all the other good work done, and then we focused on that, and we were able to break it up. Actually, we had three groups. It was a fun process to do, because were we in person, Janice, for that, or were we?
Yeah, we were. We were in person, because I think we were in Denver.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right. So we're sitting around the table, and we grouped up into three groups. And each group got to go and create what they felt that section should look like, content and everything, formatting content, wow, everything. And then we all came together and they presented their section. We all got to talk about the pros and cons. We got to take pieces of those that we really liked. So what we really have come up with is something that represents the best of the panel, and just further clarify some things. I really like the graphics. Yes. I think that might be helpful to people who see things that way. And I'm also really proud of the new procedures that we put in there, the procedure exemplars that can help any educator with teaching that content.
Yeah. Another thing, Libby, that we did, and everyone might not have really dug into it yet, is when we talk about the surgical specialties and the procedures and the specialties, and how we outlined that, where we started with the approach, and how that can fall into multiple procedures. So when you're talking about the procedure, you can talk about the different approaches that that procedure would be performed in. So that was one component that we really thought was different and would help educators when they're teaching those actual procedures.
And it really, it does, like looking at it, it makes sense, because I think it is the way that we talk about it. You have very short window to be able to talk about all these procedures. And so, you know, you try to say, this is, could be laparoscopic and robotic and open. Then once you get there, this is what we do. And so I love that mirrors kind of the natural flow of things. Yeah.
And we hope that that helps not just the educator, but the student. You know, when the educator is presenting that information to the student, we hope it helps them understand that this is a specialty and that the approach is not a specialty. Robotic is not a specialty. You know, it's an approach to a procedure. And we hope that that can help people understand that a little bit better. And both of the documents that you mentioned, the CORE and the Crosswalk, are also on AST's website under Educator Resources.
Yes, thank you. I forgot to mention that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And anybody can request a print copy from AST for a fee. So you get your copy, one copy, and then you can download it. But then if you need any more copies, you can purchase those from AST.
I think that's awesome. Yes. And I love the collaborative effort between ARC and AST and NB, and like the idea that everybody was behind all of this. And I just think it reflects how well it was done too, because you really do have like a holistic approach to teaching, you know, and to the things that our students have to learn. And, you know, speaking of teaching, right then at the same time that you guys are doing all of this, the associate degree requirement for surgical technology programs came to be. And so, I think that you all, you know, took that into consideration in the CORE and were able to kind of add those pieces as well. Do you want to talk about, you know, that?
I'd like to just say one thing about that. Yes, I think the timing is very good. I think this CORE does appropriately represent what a surgical technology program of today should look like. But I also would like to say that that was not a primary focus for the CORE, because it's the CORE curriculum for surgical technology, and it focuses on surgical technology itself and not general breadth and depth courses. And so I think that it's important to remember that, you know, there was no process or intent at all to inflate the CORE to include pieces that are not related. So just wanted to clarify that.
No, thank you for doing that. And I also, I think it just, it helps that you know, yeah, maybe we shouldn't be so specific to it's an associate degree, but also there, once you get through being an entry-level tech, there are other positions that we do in the hospital. And we saw that in COVID. Our surgical technologies were all over the hospital when surgery was kind of paused. And so I think it's great I think those skills for employment and those higher level things, you can show that that's part of your education and that you do have the right to be in these management positions or over inventory or these, you know, other things outside of first scrubbing cases. So they're important, whether it's an associate degree or entry level or whatever. I think those skills are part of what we do at the hospital. So, and seeing that employability section and all of the things that you all added to that, I think that's really important. What else? So we've talked about the clinical case component. We've talked about like the different crosswalk and how things were, deleted and revised and added. As an educator, now that this is public and we can access it from AST and ARC, what do you all as a committee picture the processes for implementing it in the classroom and in our curriculum as educators?
So I can speak from my perspective, because I've already started doing that. And what I've done is I've taken my own curriculum at my program, and then I've put the core curriculum side by side with it. And so I'm looking at the content, where I have each specific piece, and maybe where I'm missing something now because it was added to the core, I'm now putting it into my core curriculum for my own program. Also making sure my objectives are still the same. You know, we were very broad in our objectives. And, you know, just like any educator, we have additional objectives too, but to making sure that at least those are in my sections where I, in my own programs core, where they're represented. So I've kind of gone side by side, adding and then taking out for everywhere that I know that each component is. And it can be a daunting task because, and I'm sure you guys know, as educators, you have to go through the whole curriculum team at your college, and then you have to go through every process before it actually gets implemented. So I've already started my process because my goal is to get that done sooner rather than later, because, you know, always many things come up and then I don't want to put that but to the back burner.
Yeah, it's absolutely, it is a long process. I love that how many resources there are out there, especially as fellow educators. You know, do you want to add any of that, Libby? Like, have you started?
Well, actually, I have not started. I haven't even looked at the core curriculum since we finished.
Maybe you and just needed a break, Libby. Maybe you just needed a minute, you know?
I'm probably horrifying a few people by that statement, but I'm just finishing an accreditation process. I just had a site visit in February, which was my first ongoing site visit. And what an amazing process it was. Everything, loved it. So I had a great time. It was a lot of work. But that's one of the reasons that I haven't taken a look at it or started implementation. And because I was preparing for my site visit also, I haven't revised any of my current curriculum in my program for a couple of years. And so all of my curriculum needs to be revised. And I'm going to do the same thing that we did with the core. I'm going to take a stick of dynamite and I'm going to put it in there and blow it up. And I'm going to take the core and I'm going to shove it in there. But much like what Janice says, put things side by side, see where they fit, see if I need to add classes or perhaps change up a class, change the way things are flowing. I really like the way my curriculum flows, so I won't do that unless I have to, but I do plan on starting on that this summer.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, and I know that we've mentioned Wanda Folsom several times. She's just such, she's such an amazing person. And of course, Kevin Frey and everybody else at AST. I know that we have a community of educators that we have found each other and are always willing to share everything. And then of course there's our, you know, our liaisons at ARC as well that are definitely there to help us through the process. And so I think that there are people out there. And so maybe it's a little comforting that we're not completely alone as we try to navigate this, but I just commend you all and the committee for what a great job that you did in laying it all out. And it just, it flows so well. It makes sense for the way that we do surgery and the way that we teach already. So thank you all for your hard work on this and for participating in. I'd like to say thank you to the other committee members that aren't, you know, they're not with us today, but oh my God, as you said, Libby, like it was a massive team effort. And so I love that. I'm sure there's something you want to say about that incredible team of people too. What a cool room to be a fly on the wall in, you know?
So honored to have been, work with these people and gotten to know them and benefit myself from their expertise. And I can say that, you know, even since working on the core together, I have reached out to a number of the people on the panel for questions that I may have in another area of my program or things like that. And I know that I speak for everyone on the panel when I say that we would be available to answer questions if you're implementing this in your program and you have questions of how perhaps something might be approached, reach out to us. None of us wants to recreate the wheel or work in a silo. So we like to be collaborative.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Janice, any closing remarks from you as we wrap up this episode? Just thank you so much for being here.
No, I was just going to say it was a labor of love. A love for our profession, a love for education. And we hope that everyone finds it as useful as what we intended it to be.
Absolutely.
That's the perfect way to describe it, Janice.
Very well said. Well, ladies, thank you so much for being on the podcast and for helping me and for all the hard work that you all did. And I will make sure to have links to AST's website and where you can find all this information, ARC's, both editions of the core curriculum and the crosswalk and everything that we've mentioned here on our webpage. So so many supportive people and so many resources out there, and we just sometimes had to take a deep breath and one thing at a time, right? Have our own small groups.
Thank you for having this episode and having us on, and thank you for doing what you do. We love it.
Yes, thanks, Chris.
Love y'all. Absolutely. Very cool. Well, I'll give you back the rest of your evening then. And with that, thank you. I really appreciate you both.
Thank you.
Thank Bye. You.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Scrub Life podcast. If you like what you hear, please subscribe and share. We can be found on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at the Scrub Life podcast. Show notes for this episode, as well as past episodes, our contact information, and the virtual suggestion box can be found at our webpage, thescrublifepodcast.com. This has been Chris Blevins and Stephanie Austin with the Scrub Life Podcast. Until next time, be safe, support each other, and stay sterile.